Hello everyone, this is Jonathan Little. I'm here today with the 15th episode of weeklypokerhand.com, where today I'm going to be going over a hand I played recently in a $100 buy-in online tournament. As you see, I've lost a few chips already. I believe we probably started with 3,000, so that's worth mentioning. Q Magic raises from second position, and with kings here, I think you can actually call or re-raise. If you do call, you have to realize that you're not really planning on folding on too many flops. But I think 3-betting here is going to be my standard. However, if you're sitting here in Q Magic's seat and you get 3-bet by Jay Cardshark in third position, you can be pretty confident that Jay Cardshark has something very good. So if you're in his shoes, don't be too scared to get away from whatever you have. We get cold called here by Fujita. And, you know, honestly, I'm a big proponent of never cold calling. I think that if you have a hand like Queens or ace-king here, you can probably just re-raise and get it in. And if you have something like jacks, tens, ace-queen, you should probably just fold. And the problem with calling is that if the flop comes like queen, say he has pocket tens, and the flop comes ace-king three, if I bet, he's going to fold. Say he has pocket tens, and it comes 8-4-2, if he bets, and I'm still willing to put money in, I have jacks beat. So really, there are like virtually no good flops or pocket jacks besides, or pocket jacks or pocket tens besides when they make a set, which isn't going to happen that often, and obviously he's not getting quite good enough odds to set mine. So I think you either need to be playing your hand for maximum value, trying to get it all in, or folding. You'll see some players call in this spot with stuff like 9-8 suited or ace-jack suited, stuff like that, and I think that's obviously atrocious. So I think regardless of what this Fujita has, it's going to be a pretty bad play. Then we get shoved on by Ablati, and notice he only has 1,800 chips, so most likely he has lost his chips earlier in this event doing something probably not very smart. Maybe not smart, maybe smart, who knows. It's tough to say, but in general, if you see a guy that's already lost like half a stack, and he's then shoving it all in over a raise, a 3-bet, and a cold call, you can be pretty confident he's not that great of a player on average. And of course, he could have just had like aces and lost earlier, and now he has aces again, but you can't be too concerned with that. So Q Magic folds, and it's up to me. With kings, I'm obviously not folding. You know, when you're in a tournament and you have, like, kings, even if I had, like, queens here, I think it'd be inconceivable to fold. If I had ace-king, I think it's a little bit closer, but I would still probably go with ace-king. In this spot, you really just have to give Alabadi a range and see how you're doing against that. And it's sort of a difficult thing to do because Alabadi could have a very tight range, or he could just be a total maniac with stuff like 9-8 and ace-4 and stuff like that. So it's kind of tough to say, not knowing exactly how this player plays. But in general, if I had something like, I want to say jacks are better here, and probably ace-king, I would go all in here. Anything else, I'm going to be folding. But interestingly enough, my entire 3-betting range in this spot versus an early position raiser is going to be like ace-king, aces, kings, and queens. Maybe jacks, and that's about it. I'm flatting pretty much everything else. So I think Alabadi's shove is pretty bad, unless he has an extraordinarily premium hand. One other thing worth mentioning is that if I have, like, ace-king here and with Fujita behind me, I mean, if I'm going to play those hands, I'm just going to go all in. Obviously, I'm going to go all in with my whole range. If I had aces here, I would go all in just purely for balance. I'm not really going to get fancy and try to figure out a way to induce him to come along. I think the best way to go about doing this is to go all in with the whole range. But you do have to be concerned that you will get called, because if Fujita has either ace, king, or jacks, he's probably just jacks or, I think if he has queens, he would have 3-bet preflop. I think if he has tens, he's going to fold to a shove. So I think the only hands we're going to get called by here are jacks and ace, king. Maybe I'm assuming a little bit too much, but I think that's what's going to happen a lot of the time. So if Fujita has ace-king or jacks, I'm not too sure if he'll fold or not. So if in this situation, if I had jacks exactly, I think I would still go all in with it, because it's obviously tough for him to have jacks, and he may fold ace-king, and he may find a call with tens, which of course would be no good. If I had ace-king, I would go all in again to try to get him off some of those other hands, like something like tens. So I said I would shove my whole range. I actually like to call, and I don't like this. I think this is bad. You know, if it's bad, it's not, like, super bad. because as long as you're doing the same thing with the whole range, I think it's fine. In some lower-stake tournaments, I do think calling in this spot would be much better than shoving. And in higher stake tournaments, I think shoving would be much better than calling. And it's really just a factor of what your opponents think is strong and what your opponents think is weak. I think in the lower stake games, guys are going to view a call here as a little bit weaker than they would a shove, because they're like, oh man, I got to call all those chips. But in a high stakes game, they realize that you're just going to try to get fold equity with the weaker portions of your range. So lower stake games, I don't mind this. Higher stake games, I would shove every time. Ferdrita does shove, which is fantastic because, we almost always have him crushed. And we do get it in against Jax and Ace 8, and we win a nice pot. And I'm not going to talk about my opponent's plays in this video, but if you check out part two of this week's episode, I will discuss both my opponent's plays and what I think about them. But in general, I don't think either of them played their hands too well. So I'll discuss that in part two of this 15th episode of Weekly Poker Hand. And if you guys have any questions or comments, please feel free to post them in the comment box. And also, feel free to send in some hands. I'm more than willing to review your hands. And share this podcast with your friends, because I do this for free. I'm trying to give back to the poker community, and if no one knows about it, obviously I'm not going to re really be giving back much. So share this with all your poker playing friends and let me know what you think. And if there's any way you think I could improve in this podcast, let me know. This has been Jonathan Little for weeklypokerhand.com. Thanks for watching.